This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yes, it is. This is the Lombardi Line on a Tuesday alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Coming off what was a Monday Night Football doubleheader last night in the National Football League, unders go 2-0 as we see the Eagles win in cover in Tampa Bay as we thought that they might, and the Bengals perhaps save their season in a narrow win over the Los Angeles Rams. Michael, as you kind of were watching the games last night, did you walk away with any big specific takeaways from last night? How'd you feel?
I felt like just the landscape of the league, right? I felt like the landscape, like I can't tell you who the best team in the league is. You know, I think Miami's really good offensively. I think you can move the ball on Miami. I think Buffalo's finally running an offense through Josh Allen. I think obviously Kansas City played well last week in the Taylor Swift Bowl, but you know, and then in the NFC, the Niners played Thursday night, and then the Eagles, to me, haven't played their A game, even though they destroyed the Bucs last night. So I kind of feel like this is a year where everything's wide open. It's going to come down to injuries so much, and home field, to me, doesn't matter. Opening weekend, home fields were 9-7. The past 2 weeks, 7-9 and 6-10. So teams play well on the road. They win on the road outright, and this is just not against the spread, but this is outright. I just think there's teams you can eliminate that are not going to go to the Super Bowl, but there's also teams that you have to be weary of, as especially if they're healthy and stay healthy. Like we saw last night when the Rams lost their left tackle, Alec Jackson, their team fell apart. Mm-hmm. That's how tenuous each team can be.
And that's something that we talked about a lot about the Rams this offseason, is that if you want to bet them, if you want to back this Los Angeles Rams team, bet them in September when they're healthy. And then obviously the push ends up being the result last night on the closing number of 3. But I think that still was the right side had not their left tackle gone down. And then you see the way that that impacts the game throughout. You see the way that the Bengals defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo, kind of dials up things different. They get to Matt Stafford 6 times in that game. He throws 2 picks. It's just a different game after that injury, and we saw that throughout, which fortunately I will say, hey, anybody who had the Rams as a teaser leg, that is still alive. That comes through for you. You cash that end of it, but unfortunate on the closing number, certainly for anybody that had LA. To go back to the earlier start game with the Philadelphia Eagles, you mentioned them not playing their best yet. It's interesting because you're dead on, you're right, but still one of just 3 undefeated teams remaining in the league, and I think that there's a whole lot of runway for them to get better. Nick Sirianni was saying in his post-game press conference yesterday that I think everybody expects us to be a finished product right now, but there are still a little bit of growing pains when it comes to working in their 2 new coordinators on the offensive and defensive side of the ball, gaining some chemistry. Last night specifically, we know Jalen Hurts was dealing with some flu-like symptoms, as were some other players, but even as you look at that final score, 25-11, is a much more dominant win than even the scoreboard reflects, and that's still not their best based on the talent we know they have.
Well, I think to me they haven't made it look as smooth as they made it look last year, because most of their games were over at halftime, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
those second quarters they had were crazy, right?
With 200, they scored 204 points in the second quarter, so they made the game end. And the team that's doing that this year is Miami. Miami is now, you know, plus 58, and for, you know, they're like, they average a 13-point lead at halftime. A lot of that was last week, but their offense looks like, how do you stop them? How do you slow them down? Especially if the head coach, and we said this all offseason, if he's willing to run the football and take advantage of the width of the field, then they can be even more dangerous, and that's what he's done. And so they are the September child, if you will, of the best team. They remind me of Philadelphia last year, where they're just beating people rather handily. That game was over quickly. You know, I mean, even the New England game, which was close, you knew they had control of it. They weren't ever out of control. The Charger game, you know, they had control of that as well, but their defense has to improve. So I just think it's a wide open race. I'll tell you the team that could be right there with anybody, and that's the Cleveland Browns. I mean, look, they lose their starting right tackle, Jack Conklin. They lose their starting running back, Nick Chubb, 2 really good players, 2 instrumental parts to their offense. Now, Conklin, they replaced with Jones, their 3rd-round pick from Ohio State. He's played well, and they still have to work around the Chubb injury. But if Watson raises his game with this defense, watch out.
Well, and I think because of the Chubb injury, a lot of people were backing the Titans this past weekend and not even close. The Browns just come in and dominate 27-3 at home in this spot. It was never in question. And I love that about Deshaun Watson, because this is what we've been needing and wanting from him and expecting from him this year that we haven't largely seen. And I think we finally got the flash that we needed, that this Browns team could be the real deal.
Yeah, and it came at the right time. But I think part of our job as handicappers is to understand situations. If Nick Chubb were on that field for the Browns last week, they would have not run the ball against Tennessee. Tennessee's hard to run the football on. They're really good up front. Their front seven's really good. You might hit a run here, hit a run there. I mean, it could happen, but it's going to be difficult to make a living running the football. To beat Tennessee, you have to throw the ball. And that's why if you wanted to play the Browns, your concern was, can he throw the football? I thought the Browns was a really good bet, laying the three, laying the 3.5 last week, because I thought that Watson was going to be able to throw the football, and he did. And that, to me, is all about the matchups. Not having Chubb last week really affected them. Now, not having Chubb this week against Baltimore, that could be the problem. They can run the ball on Baltimore. We saw Indy run the ball on Baltimore. Zach Moss had his best day. So you can run the ball on this Baltimore front if Baltimore's not as healthy as they've been, and they don't seem like they're getting healthy right now.
The Browns a 2.5-point home favorite against Baltimore in that spot. And you make an interesting point about the Titans specifically, as they next will face the Cincinnati Bengals, who we saw last night. And you talk about needing to be able to throw the ball against them, something that Joe Burrow has largely struggled with. Cincinnati a 2.5-point favorite in Tennessee for this game coming up on Sunday, total 42. Early thoughts on how you think Joe Burrow might be able to perform in that spot against the Titans?
Well,
Hopefully we'll be able to reconnect there with Michael, having a little bit of technical difficulties. He's not in his usual spot today. We're used to seeing him out there in Ocean City at his home office, but today he was doing a little extra spot for Football Done Right, promoting that and Gridiron Genius, his two books down at the New York Stock Exchange. So he's in a little bit of a different room than usual. So hopefully we'll get him back up in just a second. But I do think that that's an interesting point worth repeating this week, with Cincinnati headed out there to Tennessee as a 2.5-point favorite, given the struggles that they have had specifically in the pass game. And something that I talked about with Michael earlier in the show was him having trouble getting the ball downfield. He's averaging just 4.7 yards per attempt, Joe Burrow, that is. Through three games, he's just 2 of 18 with two interceptions on passes of 15 plus air yards. So there's been an emphasis on the quick passing game, but the yardage downfield, not so much, as we have Michael back here. And I, just as you were giving your thoughts on this game, it bailed out. How are you? Get back to it. You're on.
I'm good. I'm sorry. I apologize. Look, Burrow, everybody knows he can't drive the ball. And this offensive line, as much money as they put in signing Orlando Brown, moving Jonah Williams to right tackle, they have not played well. They have not played well. Last night against the Rams defensive front, now they have Aaron Donald, who was great. They really struggled to get any protection for Burrow. And look, here's the thing, you know, is the defense. This is the problem that Zach Taylor has. The quarterback's going to be in one spot. He can't move with the calf. He can't go laterally. He can't move quickly and plant and drive. So if you know the quarterback's at spot Y, they tried to move him last night. One of the big passes to Chase, they ran that half boot so he could throw the sail route coming back. They need to do that because everybody knows he's a sitting target back there behind the center, and they're going to attack that. And then they have no run game because they have no power up front. I mean, these problems for the Bengals are compounding themselves, like the Rams. You know, one problem creates another problem, and Burrow's injury, they've been able to get away with it because, you know, he's so good, and they've been able to get to go into Buffalo with a bunch of backup offensive linemen and win that game in a playoff game. But Burrow's not playing to that level as they did last year because of this injury.
Yeah, the team just has a different feel, a different look to it. And we're able to, like I said, save their season at least early, not to go into an 0-3 hole last night, but still not looking good. The team on the other end of that game, the Los Angeles Rams, they are in Indy this coming week, a virtual pick'em game, Rams plus one, total 44.5. What are your early thoughts on that game in Indy, Michael?
Well, look, I think McVay has done a great job. And I think if Alec Jackson, the left tackle, plays, the Rams will make this a very challenging game because Stafford's very good. Now, you know, Stafford's going against a defense that he knows like the back of his hand. The Gus Bradley cover three Seattle defense is something that Stafford has played against so many times and he knows how to handle it. So I think he'll do a great job against that if they can protect him. If they can protect him, it'll be something that they'll move the football. And I got to give Raheem Morris a lot of credit. I mean, this team plays hard. They give great effort. They're not talented, but they know what to do and they read it really well. It's be interesting to see. You know, we know that the concussion protocol for Anthony Richardson, he still was in it last week. I think they're taking these five steps very seriously. And guys are not going in concussion protocol and out of it. Will Hill in the last block was wondering, will Garoppolo play? I've yet to see very many players enter concussion protocol and get cleared in the same week. Mm-hmm. I've yet to see that. I think it's really challenging. So he didn't get cleared. Now it's been 2 weeks Minshew's been the starting quarterback. I'd be shocked if he's not this week. But if he's not, that says something a lot about the injury he sustained and how many hits can he take if he's going to continue down this path.
Right. Dinged up in each of the first two games and now been in the protocol since last week. And with Minshew, yeah, he played well. But to your point, Shane Steichen telling reporters on Monday he's still in the protocol. But as soon as he is back available, obviously he'll re-earn that opportunity. It just feels like since last year, everything that happened with Tua Tagovailoa, they are taking those concussion protocol steps as seriously as humanly possible so they don't have a scary incident on the field. We have to step aside. There are some more news and notes around the National Football League to get to, including Justin Fields still thinks the Bears could be a playoff team. Playoffs? Come on.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back with another week of football, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw five down on any of this week's epic upcoming matchups to walk away an instant winner. Football is more fun when you're in on the action, so download the app now and sign up using our code VSIN, that's V-S-I-N. New customers bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Use that code VSIN. The crown is yours. Alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi out there on the East Coast, I'm Stormy Bonantoni, live from Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. And Michael, we talked a lot in hour one about the New York Jets and the situation with Zach Wilson, the Jets bringing in quarterback Trevor Siemian, who the last we heard of him didn't make the team for the Bengals this offseason, but bringing in another voice, a veteran presence to that room, which needs it. I'm curious your opinion on how short that leash might be for Zach Wilson moving forward with him now being brought into the room.
Yeah, I think it's about a quarter. It really all depends on Simeon's ability to learn Nathaniel Hackett's West Coast offense. Siemian has been in, you know, similar schemes, so it shouldn't be that difficult. You know, I think he'll be able to get caught up to speed and he'll take reps. I mean, look, they have to do this. They can't execute an offense. I mean, you can only throw so many screen passes, and even then he doesn't even throw those well. I mean, the last drive of the game when he went down the field, you know, gave him some hope. He threw some, made a couple really good throws, one particularly on third down when he scrambled out of the pocket to his left and hit the tight end. And so, but for the most part, he held the ball too long. You know, he wasn't decisive with his reads. You know, second play of the game, Stormy, and this is one of those plays that goes unnoticed. He's in a check with me situation with the run game. So he either run it left or run it right, depending on what we want to do. The call's in the huddle, and it basically is check with me. And so you either, you know, sometimes you see the guys where they kind of, you know, they go cut, kill, kill, kill. Well, that means they're going the other way. Instead of what the call was in the huddle, they'll send it somewhere. They'll send it the opposite side. And he basically runs a lead play into an overloaded front, and they lose 6 yards on the play. And, you know, the back like gets up from the ground and like, well, what are we doing? Like, these are the things that don't look, you can't see in the stat sheet. Checking to a bad play, you know, and that tells you the preparation that he's in seeing it. He had two overhang players and he called a run into it. Like, that's just not smart football. And you sit there and say, like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? What are we practicing for? If you're going to do this, you know, and so I think that's something that you have to change because the players know it. How would you like to be Bryce Hall in the background and he's sending you into an overload front and Jennings is sitting right there and you got to go. Now it's one on one in a cramped space. You're going to get tackled. So those are just the problems that no one sees unless you understand the game. And they're just every play. There's something like that.
And I'm sure if you're a Jets fan, you have to hope and believe that this isn't the last move as it pertains to the Jets quarterback room at this point. I mean, even Joe Namath, who is the Hall of Famer and star of the Jets organization historically, coming out and saying, I'm done. I've seen enough of Zach Wilson. Like, that's not going to give anybody confidence in this spot. The Jets, by the way, a team that many people thought could be competitive and potentially even upset the apple cart and win the AFC East this preseason with Aaron Rodgers, now plus 650 to make the playoffs. And Michael, another bad team right now that their quarterback feels still has an opportunity to make the playoffs is your favorite team, the Chicago Bears. Apparently, Justin Fields says that he's not given up playing on the postseason, said after the loss to Kansas City, the Lions started 1-6 last year, and they almost made the playoffs. We've got 14 left at least. You're a 3.5-point dog to a team that just got lit up by 50 this week for a reason, Justin. I might not be saying things like that so publicly.
Well, I'm not giving up on being a swimsuit model either, Stormy. I mean, I'm going to have that in my, you know, like there's dreams and then there's like really reality. Like, come on now. I mean, you know, how about we just get, this has been the problems with the Bears that I've seen all off season. Like, can we just get good before we talk about great? Can we just keep it close? Can we play better? You know, can we do some good things? You know, we got two games in 10 days. America is going to witness you against the Commanders. Remember that game last year on Thursday night? They're giving us again Thursday night again this year. Now, this time they give it to us in Washington. Remember that game last year, how bad that was?
I'm trying to block it out personally.
I mean, can't we just worry about look, and the Bears, in fairness, they have so many injuries on defense and they have so many injuries in their offensive line that they're not a talented team to begin with. So, look, I don't think you want to be playing the Broncos. I don't know if you heard the sounds emanating out of Denver this week, because I'm sure Sean Payton is screaming in there. That tape has to be the most embarrassing tape for Sean Payton in his coaching career. That was a lack of effort, a lack of tackling, a lack of adjustment by everybody who's accountable for that, including the head coach on down. Like, nobody can run away from. Like, you could say, well, let's fire Vance Joseph. Great. But there were other things on that tape that were just as bad as the scheme and the play call. So they're going to be coming loaded for bear, I think, and literally loaded for bear.
And I know you and I were talking before the show earlier today, too, how much people are kind of reveling a little bit maybe in Sean Payton's misery at this point because of the comments that he made this offseason and talking about Nathaniel Hackett and that coaching staff's job being maybe the worst in NFL history, that people are like, hey, you know what? It's not that easy, Sean. It's hard. Mm-hmm. There are also some people that are upset. I'm curious your opinion on this about apparently we've seen unnamed sources, so you never know who that is, around the league and owners and general managers thinking that Mike McDaniel ran the score up. Did you have a problem with the way they approached that game?
I think Mike ran his offense. He ran his offense, and it's the job of the opponent to stop the offense. I mean, you know, he calls a toss play that goes ridiculous for yards. They don't tackle anybody. Like, what do you want them to do? Do you want them to kneel down three times and punt? Like, I mean, at some point, the team has to take accountability for their actions in the game. And so, look, I mean, if they would have just played sound, I mean, that game was going to be they were going to get in the 30s, not to the 50s, mm-hmm. but they wouldn't tackle. They didn't play with any physicality. They didn't communicate. They played, as the great Larry Brown would often say about his basketball teams, they played like strangers out there on the field. Nobody really was helping each other out. And so you deserve what you get. I think that's just a bunch of nonsense. It's not Mike McDaniel's job to keep the score down.
Yeah. Both the Broncos and the Bears 3-0 and 3 going into this week. And to Justin Fields' point about playoffs not being fully out of reach yet. Only six teams in the Super Bowl era dating back to 1966 have gone on to make the playoffs after opening the season 0-3. Denver right now plus 850 to make the playoffs.
Do the math on that, Stormy. Hey, that percentage?
I'm just saying, so you're telling me there's a chance. Like that's that's what it is. But yeah, it's not great. But another 0-3 team, Michael, we've got a couple minutes left here in the block, is the Carolina Panthers, bottom of the barrel in that NFC South division. And Bryce Young, still TBD, it appears, with that ankle. Frank Reich saying, I don't know yet, when asked about his status for this week. What did you see from Andy Dalton in his performance this past week?
Well, I mean, look, I don't understand it. Like, I don't get this, right? So When I was watching the game and making notes, because my son was in Carolina last year, so obviously I paid close attention to Carolina. I watched all their games, and you know, they went into Seattle last year and they did a really good job. I mean, they ran the ball effectively. They had 46 carries, Stormy, for 223 yards. They only threw 24 passes, and they were able to hold Seattle to 46 yards rushing. So now Frank Reich goes up there, and he's got, with a backup quarterback who's prone to make mistakes. I mean, I've nicknamed Andy Dalton the 2020 quarterback because he goes from 120 to the other 20 and he looks good. But once the ball gets in the red zone, watch out, right? So that's the problem. And he goes up there, and in his infinite wisdom, he has Andy Dalton throwing the ball 58 times. And it was a close game the whole time. 58 passes against a team that struggles to play run defense. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing here? You know, we ran for 223 yards last year. We came up. You don't think those players have any sense? Oh, my God. What is going on here? I think it's going lower and lower. I mean, I don't. What is the Minnesota line? I think whatever the Minnesota line is today.
3.5, I believe.
That's going to 4, I think. I mean, unless the book doesn't want to give you 4, that's going to 4. Because Minnesota, if they don't turn the ball over. Now, they've got 7 fumbles on the whole season so far, which is ridiculous. 7 fumbles, you know, and they've turned the ball over 4 times inside the 7-yard line, and they've turned it over in the red zone 6 times. So if they don't turn this over, I mean, I don't know where Carolina is going to be able to move the football. Not that Minnesota's any good, but you're going to have Andy Dalton throw 58 passes. Are you kidding me?
And I know that they're a team that has a lot of injuries too, but the coaching, I think, is something, to your point, not just the play calling, but coaching in general is something I was excited about this offseason. And I have been, and it's been very, very frustrating, I think, to watch. 37-27, the final out there with Seattle and Carolina. Carolina, 3.5-point dog, total 45.5 this week, hosting the Minnesota Vikings. We're going to turn the page from the NFL to college football when we come back on the Lombardi Line, talk big picture and some best bets with Aaron Moore on the other side.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Worlds are colliding. So we've got a subscription contest going on here at VSiN between shows, and we need your help to win. Up for grabs is a $1,000 voucher at Circa Sportsbook to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket. So to sweeten the deal for you, you'll save 40% when you sign up for our football season special using the promo code Lombardi. This is bragging rights and a $1,000 futures ticket on the line. Make this football season your best ever, and please help us do the same. Save 40% off your football season special today. Use that promo code Lombardi to do it. VSiN.com/subscribe, promo code Lombardi. And this is the Lombardi Line, of course, alongside our newly coated Michael Lombardi. It's a little bit cold.
Freezing in here, Stormy. I'm at the stock exchange. I'm freezing. Oh my God, I'm going to have to get hot chocolate when I leave here.
I was laughing because usually you're just cold when you're in studio with us and Femi has the air brought down to 64 degrees. I thought you'd be safe out there.
No, I'm in a studio here at the Stock Exchange right off of the floor because I did a show called The Halftime Report to promote the book and obviously our show. And I'm in this room and they're going to use the studio at 3:30. So I think they cranked up the air so everybody's comfortable. But I'll get through. I just got a half hour. Plus, we got Aaron Moore to talk to today. So that's all good.
Yes.
Yeah, so and please, please subscribe with the Lombardi Key. I don't want to lose to anybody. No. You don't want to either.
We are winners here on this program. And so, yes, please use that promo code. And we're going to crank up the heat here with some college football talk as we do bring in Aaron Moore now, VSiN.com writer, sports media professor at Pub Relation Prof on X. And Aaron, I want to get started here talking some quarterbacks, because in the Pac-12, it has been the year of the quarterback. There are four top 10 teams in all of college football right now, and we see quarterbacks on three of them as the top four on the odds board to win this year's Heisman Trophy. How do you kind of view the quarterback play in the Pac-12, and who might really have the best opportunity down the line to go on and win a Heisman?
Well, thanks for having me, Stormy. Looking at it from the Pac-12 standpoint and the quarterbacks, it's just so interesting that we're talking about the Pac-12 now after what we talked about 3 or 4 months ago. The Pac-12 is going away. If it's going away, these quarterbacks have no chance of getting the attention. And now when the season starts, you have these three legitimate candidates. And it's interesting that I know you were really high on Michael Penix in the offseason, and as good of a player as he was, I didn't think his chances were that good because he plays in Washington. He plays in Seattle. It's going to be a detriment to him. He's going against Caleb Williams, who is the defending Heisman winner. He plays in Los Angeles, plays for that marquee USC program. So those two are going at it. You've got Bo Nix now in the mix as well. If I was to look at it right now, even though you see Penix so high on the odds board, he's number one, I still don't think he has a chance to win it. I think he has to play every week now like a Heisman Trophy winner. And it sounds almost obvious that's what the Heisman Trophy winner has to do. But Penix cannot have a bad game. Penix really has to play perfect. Caleb Williams has that more brand equity. Bo Nix has a little bit more room to operate because Penix is the one who's atop the board. So look at the season Penix is having just from a football standpoint. He's one of the best passers in college football and one of the best offensive weapons in college football. I still don't think that translates to a Heisman Trophy win, because you're going to have votes by people who need to see Washington play. Washington, like some of these other Pac-12 teams, is playing on Apple TV, Peacock, all these nine different streaming services. I just don't think it works in the favor of Michael Penix, even though, boy, that guy does look like a Heisman winner.
Yeah, he does. I mean, so Femi and I have kicked this around, Aaron. I think Bo Nix is a St. Jude's play. I don't think he has a chance to win the Heisman. I think he's played really well. He's turned his career around, going from Auburn and the Gussie offense out there to the Oregon offense, and he looks really good. But to me, I don't think there's enough there to he's going to beat Caleb Williams. If Sam Hartman would have beaten Ohio State, I thought Sam Hartman has a chance to mount that campaign based on Touchdown Jesus and that promotional campaign that they can do. But what are you of a believer that Bo Nix can win the Heisman?
I don't believe he'll win the Heisman, Michael, but I believe he'll be in the mix. He'll be in the story just for the fact that he has a good story, a good narrative going, goes from Auburn, career looks down, all of a sudden goes to Oregon, resurrects his career. He plays at Oregon. They're going to get the attention. They're going to get more attention than Washington. That's just the way the media market works. So Bo Nix is going to be in the mix. I agree with you. Sam Hartman had a chance. It didn't work out for him. So if we're going to look at this board and we're going to think that Caleb Williams still has that Pac-12 inside track, if I go a little bit deeper, I'm going to look at that board. I think Drake May is the one who has the odds in the ability to move up. Now, we bet futures hoping that we get some of these futures to hit. Now, I'm not saying Drake May is going to win the Heisman, but I do think he has, from a value standpoint, a lot of room to grow in terms of the narrative. UNC possibly could be favored in all their games going through the end of the season, that there's more room for growth for Drake May. And like I said, with Penix, he has to play like a Heisman Trophy winner every game now. Drake May has an ability to come in at the end of the season and become that late season candidate. And we've seen that player win over the last few years.
And he was, of course, in the conversation late last year before things kind of fell apart. 4-0 to start this season, coming off the win at Pitt this past weekend. And they still do have a couple games where you could show your stuff against the U, against Duke, Clemson. speaking of USC, though, and Caleb Williams, they, of course, have Colorado breakfast in Boulder coming up, the big noon kickoff on Fox this week. I'm very curious your thoughts on this game. We see the spread right now, 21.5, but obviously Arizona State stuck around in the game last week against USC. Colorado, without Travis Hunter, looked a little bit different. How have you had to adjust Colorado's grades specifically and how they might match up with this USC team?
I think before you even talk about what they're doing on the field, it has come to the point where every major college football game must include Colorado. We're at the point now, Colorado is the only major college football team that exists. But into the game, I think it's similar to what I said last week when Colorado played Oregon. You see that spread 21.5. That half a point really plays a large role because the books want you to bet Colorado, which seems crazy, which is the popular team. So that 21.5 to me says the books want you to go to Colorado because USC is that good. I think we saw last week with Colorado, they're talented, they're fun, they have a great coach, they're great TV. But now they're starting to look like that team we talked about in the preseason where people were talking about you should bet the under 3 or 4 wins. So they're great TV. They're fun to watch. But from a standpoint of where they go moving forward, 21.5 is the books wanting you to bet Colorado. And I don't think that's the right play.
Let's stay in the Pac-12. It's interesting, right? The Pac-12 dissolves, and there's so many good games in the Pac-12, like Utah going up to Corvallis to play the Oregon State Beavers, who, you know, had a comeback from behind against Washington State, fell 3 points short. Washington State's, to me, another good team that no one talks about, right? No one talks. Cam Ward is sensational in what they do there at Washington State. But what's your thoughts on this game here, Aaron?
And once again, we have a spread where that half a point probably plays a role. You can get a 3, 3.5 with Oregon State favored. I think what we saw with Utah last week is an example of this team is walking a tightrope. They look like a top 10 team. They have one of the best defenses in the country, but only winning 14-7 against a freshman quarterback last week, a very raucous crowd in their favor. And they were only able to pull off a 7-point victory. Now, as you said, Michael, going to Corvallis, now they're on the road. They just don't seem to score enough. And crazy as it sounds, DJ is probably the better quarterback in this game right now. So Oregon State, I think, has a lot of factors in their favor. Utah has been walking the tightrope. And eventually, I think this lack of offense, this lack of Cam Rising is going to catch up to them. And 3.5 points, I'd lay that with Oregon.
And we still haven't gotten confirmation on like whether or not Cam Rising is going to be available here in the near future. It's like a yo-yo up and down his statuses every single week. And then you also wonder once he does get on the field, what he's going to play like that first actual game action. How much rust will there be? So a lot of questions there. Got about 60 seconds left here, Aaron. What's your favorite bet of the card, though, that you do have in pocket here?
Well, looking at a number of different plays here, Stormy, I think one of the best plays right now on the board is you can get BYU for 2.5 points. You've got Cincinnati coming to BYU. You've got the Crazies and Provo night game. Both teams moving to the Big 12. For Cincinnati, this is one of their first power conference environments. You've got BYU, Keaton Slovis, who's played for so many different teams, so many different schools, so many time zones. He's at BYU. I like the fact that you can get the Cougars for less than a field goal.
Awesome stuff. As always, Aaron, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Aaron. Great job.
Thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Aaron Moore, great conversation. I'm very, very curious to see how the Pac-12 is going to play out because these teams all have to play each other. So
it's unbelievable. We the league dissolves, and all we spend our time in college football is talking about now Colorado's in the Pac-12, but we talk about the Pac-12 all the time. They got really good teams.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com and check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes so you can see the changes in action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN's here to make you a more informed better year-round. You can check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. VSiN.com also, by the way, where you can find our pro tips. Every single show here at the network does them, and we've got one here to round out the Lombardi line today, kind of following up our conversation with Aaron Moore a moment ago as we were talking about the Heisman odds board and some of the players that are atop it right now. We see three of the top four candidates in the Heisman odds in the Pac-12 with Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, and of course, last year's winner, Caleb Williams. But I think it's also important to take into account that all these teams are going to have to play each other. The schedule is a critical piece that I think bettors need to take account of before they place their bets. And you even were mentioning too, Michael, the national prominence of some of these games. Like, don't do a donation type of a bet for a team that nobody's really going to be watching, and they have to go head to head with another candidate who might be the more likely winner.
Yeah, I mean, like Aaron mentioned, like if you're on Apple TV or the Peak or Peacock or somewhere where you got to try to find Michael Penix, I mean, poor Cam Ward, you know, he's up there in Pullman. I mean, nobody even knows when he's playing. Now, they were on at 7:30 East Coast time this week against Oregon State, so I got a chance to watch him. And Washington State's a good team. You know, we all talk about Colorado beating Colorado State in overtime. I mean, Washington State went down there and whooped them by 25. It wasn't even close. And Oregon State's a good team, and they had a 38-28 lead on them, and or I think it was more than that. And then they ended up closing, winning by three, and they were a dog at home in that game. I thought that was a really easy bet there to take them. So you got to be able to see the games to really generate the momentum you need to become the win the Heisman. You've got to see it, and Caleb Williams benefits. So you got to be on national TV. That was my point about Hartman. I mean, you know he's going to be on TV all the time. If they beat Ohio State, watch out. But they didn't.
Yeah, I think that was just a real missed opportunity. And they weren't really throwing the ball either, which was pretty disappointing given who their quarterback is. So
they weren't throwing the ball, and they didn't have 10 men. They didn't have 11 on the field. I didn't know what they were doing. They didn't run no play action. Like, I was very disappointed in their offensive game plan, you know, against Ohio State, especially a team that I couldn't gauge defensively how good they were or weren't based on the schedule of who they played.
Yeah, that was a game that I think was disappointing in a lot of areas, and not just because I didn't get the 3.5 on Notre Dame. I got the 3, so a little bit of a buzzkill for your girl from a betting standpoint as well. And you know I was a believer in Sam Hartman as well, so that was a tough pill to swallow, I think, that I thought he could have had his Heisman moment on that stage and wasn't really given the opportunity. But as it pertains to the Heisman conversation in general, just this is an award that is voted on by human beings. You need to have eyeballs on these games. You need to have storylines that match up with the player that you're backing. And of course, the schedule is going to play a huge role in that, because a lot of these teams and players are going to have to face off against one another. Cam Ward, by the way, who you mentioned, he is, what is it, third? Yeah, averaging 347.5 passing yards so far this season, third in the FBS behind only Penix and Shador Sanders. He has 1,390 passing yards and no picks, yet 45-1 on the odds board because he goes to Washington State. So just going to throw that out there. Let's move on, though, real quickly back to the NFL, because, Michael, I think thematically, as we've gone through this show, you can tell listening to you talk about Miami that this is a team that has catapulted up your personal way of rating this squad. You think that they're very similar, have a very similar feel to the Eagles early last year.
Well, just because they set the tempo with their offense, right? One of the reasons why Bill Walsh and the 49ers were such a good road team. People think road teams, that means great defense. No, road teams mean you play from in front. You score. You can operate on the road and score points. And this team can score points. New England played them well, held them to 24 points. They took Tyreek Hill out of the game, but they couldn't really control the running game. And they needed to do that, and they couldn't do that. Peppers missed a tackle in the hole. They had a chance to get off the field, and then they couldn't make a play at the end of the game. So, you know, they played them as well as you could play them. I really felt so. But this team has taken on a different light in the sense that McDaniels is willing to call runs. They're running this wide outside zone, which fits their offense. Every run they have has a play action pass. And Tyreek Hill is just dynamic. I mean, if you take Tyreek Hill off the field, and he's not on there, it's going to change the game completely. I'm just telling you. I mean, Tua could win the MVP, but the MVP of the team is Tyreek Hill. I mean, he just changes the game completely. And no one knows how to play him. No one wants to play man against him unless your name's Brendan Staley. No one wants to play zone against him. It's a very challenging thing to do. And Tua's done a really good job of being deadly accurate with the football to every other receiver.
The speed and separation that Tyreek Hill brings to the football field is incredible. And, you know, you've talked about it a lot, just the way that McDaniels has altered the offense from last year when they weren't able or didn't choose to try to run the ball, given some of the weapons they have in the pass game, that's been a huge part of their game plan here in 2023. So as you look ahead to this game coming up in Buffalo at Orchard Park, they're getting 3 points in Buffalo. Is this a no-brainer bet, in your opinion, because they get to have you don't have weather taking a toll like it would if you had to play this game later on in the season? 2.5. I'm seeing 3 at DraftKings right now. But do you think that you need to take the points? Is that the way that you play this, despite how good Buffalo's defense has been?
I mean, on Tuesday, my instincts tell me yes. I haven't run my numbers. But, you know, it's interesting. This game has the second most action of the Sunday slate going into the weekend. Shockingly, the Jets Kansas City has the most. I don't know why, but I think people are playing against the Jets, trying to get the easy number before that extends up. But this is one, when you go back and watch the Washington game, Washington, you think, okay, they didn't play very well against them. Washington's offensive line gave up 9 sacks. And Sam Howell threw 3 bad interceptions. One was a pick 6. That wasn't very good. But the game's a little deceiving, right? I mean, Washington, it's a 16-0 game. And they're able to get back in the game. And then Robinson fumbles, which then allows them to put the game away. And then the next drive, Howell throws the pick 6. So it was a closer game in the fourth quarter than you might lend itself to believe. And I just think, to me, the way Buffalo has played, they're running the football more effectively. Allen's operating within the framework of an offense. I can honestly say they have an offense, but can they stop this team? Can they stop Miami? I worry about their safeties. Last week against Washington, they got in a man-to-man situation, and Curtis Samuels just went right down the field, and Howell hit him for about a 40-yard gain. You can't play man-to-man against Buffalo can't play man-to-man against this team. They got to play quarters coverage, and they got to hope they can hold up. So I don't, as I sit here and look at the matchup, I don't like the matchup right now for Buffalo. You're going to have to play a lot of zone. You're going to have to hold up against the run. Are you big and physical enough to do it? Because they're going to force you to spread it. They're going to spread you out horizontally. It's a tough matchup for Buffalo, I think. And look, Stormy, last year, they beat them in Miami. And the game in December, when we were all thinking it was going to be a win game, remember? Mm-hmm. And Tua was still out of the active roster. It wasn't a win game. And it was a 3-point game. And they ran the ball really well in that game. They ran for 188 yards in that game. Now, the playoff game, they didn't run it well. But that was still a close game too, Stormy.
Yep. And to your point about just the way this offense is clicking, Tua already through 3 games has 1,000 yards and on a 71% completion percentage. And so if Buffalo is going to have success here, they're going to have to turn the ball over and get to the quarterback the way that they did this past week against the Commanders. But I'm not sure with the way that Miami's been able to get the ball out, if they're going to have those types of opportunities. Tua has been as accurate as you can be.
Wow, unbelievable. Yeah, it doesn't miss a throw. You know, it's the third quarter where he throws an incomplete pass. And I got to say to you, you know, and I don't mean this in any disrespect towards Tua, because he's proven that he's better than I thought he was. But these throws are so easy. I mean, they're really easy. And the offense, the way McDaniels has it running with Tyreek Hill. Let me say this. The engine is driven by the receiver because everybody's scared to death of him. You know, even without Waddle, you're still scared to death of him. He makes everybody better. He is just, I mean, the first touchdown, watch that play again. The defensive back has an angle on him. He has an angle on him. This is a professional athlete that has an angle on him who's starting in the safety for an NFL team, and he outruns the angle. I've never seen anything like it. The guy is, to me, if we really are honest about what the most valuable player is, this guy is it.
He said this before the season started that he wanted to have 2,000 yards this season and could be well on his way to setting that record if he stays healthy, knock on wood. That's going to do it for us today. I loved this conversation about Miami, though. I'm sure we'll talk about them plenty more as the week goes on. But if you're sticking with us here on VSiN, it's Sharp Money that's coming up next. If you're watching on DraftKings Network, you can expect Pablo Torre. And Michael, we will have you back at home tomorrow with the temperature set the way that you need, so you don't have to be frozen in New York anymore.
Thank you, Stormy.
Thank you. That's a wrap for today. Keep it locked on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.